This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, July 2nd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have legal issues in the news and commentator Amy Guida talking about last week's Supreme Court decision on gun rights. We'll also have a forecast for this rest of the week and the upcoming 4th of July weekend from meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, today's news. Authorities say last night's arrest of a 28-year-old ex-convict suspected in 8 deaths in northern Illinois and Missouri was just a matter of time. Tim Lewis is the police chief in Festus, Missouri. He says authorities knew that Nicholas Sheely was in the St. Louis area. Lewis said that authorities set up a perimeter around a bar, and Sheely gave in to authorities without a fight. Sheely was arrested outside that bar in Granite City, 10 miles north of St. Louis. Lewis says that Sheely looked rough and that he's had a difficult 2 days. Authorities are unsure who will prosecute Sheely since the killings happened in 2 different states. Sheely's been officially charged in 1 of the 8 deaths in Galesburg. The FBI launched a manhunt for Sheely, who they said was armed and dangerous. Illinois' economic performance appears to be leveling off, according to a monthly figure. The University of Illinois Flash Index for June checked in at the same level as the previous month, 102.3. Any number above 100 signifies economic growth. It had fallen for much of the past year. U of I economist Fred Gertz believes the state's economy may not be headed toward recession, though he says continued instability in the financial markets or even higher fuel prices could send the Illinois economy further downward. But Gertz does not think last month's severe flooding will have that much of an effect.
There are also repair efforts that go along with the damage that generate some activity, things of that sort. And floods, unlike an earthquake in China or something of that sort, the damage is fairly localized. So it's very devastating for the few places where the levees break or the flooding occurs, but it doesn't have really a widespread impact.
The Flash Index measures income, corporate, and sales tax revenue for the previous month to chart Illinois' economic activity. Champaign City Council members have approved a new budget for the township government, but first they removed a $9,000 line item that included funding for outside legal counsel. And that caused some sparks, as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The city of Champaign uses the same legal staff for both city and township government. Champaign City Council members were meeting as the City of Champaign Township Board last night when they spotted funding in the township budget plan for outside legal counsel. Councilman Tom Bruno asked why the township should need outside legal help.
It strikes me as if the township supervisor is suggesting that we budget money for separate lawyers because she anticipates some sort of a legal battle with the city on the horizon.
Township Supervisor Linda Abernathy says she'd like to sometimes consult attorneys with expertise in township government that she says the city attorneys lack. In fact, she says she's already done so from time to time on a pro bono basis. Abernathy denies any thought of a legal fight between the city and township.
Which was, in my opinion, polarizing the issue because that was not about going out and let's get a lawsuit going against the city.
But Abernathy hints that the budget dispute reflects a larger conflict between her and the Champaign City Council. The two have been at odds for some time over funding levels for general assistance. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
On Champaign's southwest side, a stretch of Curtis Road near the new I-57 interchange is a bit closer to a major upgrade. Council members have voted to join Savoy and Champaign County in a deal to buy rights-of-way and easement from the principal landowner along a stretch of Curtis. It's now a 2-lane blacktop. Once that deal is done, the stretch will be ready to be rebuilt as a 4-lane road. The vote last night marked the latest step in long-term plans to bring major development to that area around the Curtis Road interchange. Deputy City Manager for Development Craig Ross says despite the opening of the interchange earlier this year, Champaign officials have heard little from anyone interested in building nearby.
We've had a few projects discussed, but nothing in the serious stages at this point. I think the road construction will help to start to create a market for those land transactions and then eventual development.
The vote last night approves payment of up to $780,000 for rights-of-way and easements needed to improve Curtis Road. Savoy and Champaign County will shoulder most of the cost, with Champaign paying about $70,000. 4 state scientific surveys are now being administered by the University of Illinois. Legislation signed this week by Governor Blagojevich creates the Institute for Natural Sciences and Sustainability. That transfer involves Illinois State Geological, Natural History, and Water Surveys and Illinois Waste Management and Research Center. The four are already on the U of I campus. Associate Vice Chancellor for Research Melanie Lutz says the change sought by four area legislators was done with a focus of collaborative research in mind and should yield more involvement for students. Lutz cites an example. She says the Natural History Survey's efforts to combat insect-borne disease show that there have been breakthroughs in biomedical research on campus.
Understanding the insect vector for the disease and, you know, using what you know about that to combat disease, just coupled with people on campus who then, you know, might be looking at other aspects of the disease itself.
Lou says the State Geological Survey already combines its efforts with several U of I departments. Each scientific survey will serve as a division of the new institute. Former WCIA-TV sports director and anchor Tom Jones passed away yesterday after a long illness. Jones was one of the main faces on Channel 3 for about 16 years and was a strong advocate for people with disabilities. Jones himself was in a wheelchair since he was 6 years old when a stray bullet hit him in the spine in his hometown of Carbondale. In a 2003 interview on WILL, Jones said being disabled and working in broadcasting wasn't always easy.
In 1957, when I went to work for Channel 3, the first thing the management said to me there was, "We do not want the audience to see you in your wheelchair." And I said, "How come?" And they said, "We don't want the audience to feel that we're putting a handicapped person on the air to gain sympathy." And so I transferred every time for several years out of my wheelchair into a regular chair when I read news or sports or whatever.
Jones ended his broadcast career and joined the U of I's public affairs office. In 1999, Jones founded the Challenger League, a baseball league for children with disabilities. Tom Jones was 71 years old. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The U.S. Supreme Court decided last week that Washington, D.C.'s gun control law was an unconstitutional restriction on the right to bear arms. But even though the court's decision has been called landmark, it's not the first time the court has faced the issue. Commentator Amy Guida takes us back to 1822 in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
So let's say that it's around the year 1820, as in nearly 200 years ago, and you're a guy living in Kentucky. You dress to impress with a stylish cane, a cane with a sword hidden inside it, the sort of weapon one might see today in a museum in France or in some outlandish spy film from the 1960s. Such was the burden of a man named Bliss back then. Mr. Bliss asked the Court of Appeals of Kentucky to do something about the state's nasty concealed arms statute, one that prohibited any person from wearing a pocket pistol, dirk, large knife, or sword in a cane concealed as a weapon unless traveling on a journey, one that he and his cane had been convicted of violating. After all, such restrictive language, Bliss argued, directly conflicted with the state constitutional right given citizens to bear arms in defense of themselves and the state. It's not precisely the case decided by the United States Supreme Court last week. The case of the cane, after all, hinged on the Kentucky Constitution, not the Second Amendment to the federal Constitution. But Mr. Bliss was among the very first litigants to point the way toward an expansive reading of constitutional gun rights. He convinced the Kentucky court in 1822 that it violated the state constitution to restrict weaponry in any way. Check out this language. "It is the right to bear arms in defense of the citizens and the state that is secured by the Constitution, and whatever restrains the full and complete exercise of that right, though not an entire destruction of it, is forbidden by the explicit language of the Constitution. And, in principle, there is no difference between a law prohibiting the wearing of concealed arms and a law forbidding the wearing such as are exposed. And if the former be unconstitutional, the latter must be so likewise." Oh, happy day. Or should I say, oh, happy couple of decades, depending upon your home state and your point of view. Bliss got his wish, but by the 1840s, not all courts would embrace his choice of walking/slashing implement and his home court's expansive reading of the right to bear arms provision. In Alabama, the state's highest court found it perfectly constitutional to ban the evil practice of concealed weapons, interpreting its own constitutional language to allow the legislature's restrictive actions. Tennessee's highest court, too, worried early on that without legislative bans on certain weaponry, including Bowie knives, Citizens, especially assassins and robbers, would keep and bear such arms only for private boils. It found that the state's constitutional right to bear arms clause was not unlimited. It probably didn't help that one of the defendants in the case had threatened that he would have his enemy's heart's blood. But back to Kentucky. Nearly 190 years after his successful court fight, Bliss found his way out of obscurity last week. His case, his name, is mentioned in a footnote on page 15 of the Supreme Court's opinion. And you can bet that Mr. Bliss would be pleased that his case was cited by the majority and not the dissent. Oh, and Bliss's sword and a cane weapon? Its nattiness is still available online. With great foresight, one seller suggests in a link titled Legal Stuff that today's Bliss's check with their local police department, or better yet, their lawyer, to find out what's allowed and what isn't under the law. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Rain will gradually work its way across the two state areas beginning today in parts of northern and west central Illinois and far northern Indiana, according to meteorologist Ed Kieser. Scattered showers and thunderstorms there during the afternoon, but elsewhere still mostly sunny, including in Champaign-Urbana. Highs today will range from between 85 in the far north, 92 in southwest Illinois, 90 here in town, and it will be more humid as well, with winds from the southwest at 12 to 24 miles an hour and higher gusts. For tonight, in northern and central sections of the two states, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. In the south, increasing clouds with showers and thunderstorms arriving after midnight. Lows from 60 in northwest Illinois, 68 in the south. In Champaign-Urbana, 66 the low tonight with some rain. For tomorrow, sunshine returns to northern Illinois, but in northern Indiana, clouds and scattered showers early will give way to partial sunshine. Here in central Illinois and the central and southern sections of the rest of the two states, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. And highs from 70 in Lake Michigan, near Lake Michigan, to 85 in the far south. 78, the forecast high tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana. Tomorrow night, cloudy with some showers and thunderstorms lingering in central Illinois, the low 60. And for Friday, clouds with a chance of a few showers, especially in the morning and early afternoon. The 4th of July high, 74 degrees, sunny on Saturday with a high of 82. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, July 2nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.